The 12th Conference on the Holy Spirit is parental love of God, the Divine Father and Mother. We need to experience the brotherly love of Jesus Christ. We need to experience the spousal love of the Holy Spirit. Many persons acknowledge an intimacy with God the Father and with Jesus Christ the Son, but have difficulty developing an intimacy with the Holy Spirit. I think the reason for this is that we have never gotten to know the Holy Spirit. The hope is that these 12 conferences on the Holy Spirit have helped you to appreciate the tremendous love and loving care of the Holy Spirit for you. You now need to develop a deep intimacy and love for the Holy Spirit. Every love relationship requires frequent communication between the two lovers. A failure to communicate with the beloved will cause a lessening of love, intimacy, and devotion. I would like to suggest a method of communication with the Holy Spirit that you might use every day. It is called inner wisdom dialogue. This inner wisdom is the sleeping giant of the Holy Spirit that dwells within the depths of your inner being. You might think of the Holy Spirit either as your spiritual spouse or a spiritual friend. You may think of the Holy Spirit as either masculine or feminine. You can carry on this dialogue with the Holy Spirit, this inner wisdom, either in your head or on paper. If at all possible, I would suggest you try it on paper as a part of a journal exercise. You need to use your imagination to discern what you might want to say to the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit might want to say to you. In the 5th conference, I talked about the 5 bases of our daily prayer. In this dialogue with your inner wisdom figure, the Holy Spirit, make use of each of those particular bases, which means spend some time thanking the Holy Spirit for each of the gifts, both the general gifts and the special charismatic gifts. Spend some time trying to discern what is God's will. What is the Holy Spirit trying to tell you? What you need to do to practice the 3 relationships of love: love of God, love of neighbor, and a proper love of self. Spend time in this dialogue asking for all the different gifts, as well as the fruits of the Holy Spirit, all of the wonderful things that the Holy Spirit is waiting to give us if we just ask. Spend time in an intercessory prayer to call down the Holy Spirit, both upon your loved ones as well as upon all the people of the world. And then each evening, spend some time to review the day, to praise and thank God for the blessings of the Holy Spirit, and to ask forgiveness for any failures on our part. In this dialogue with the Holy Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, to speak to you. Tell the Holy Spirit that you want to know what is God's will in your regard. Try to be just as totally open as you possibly can be to each of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, each of those 7 general gifts: piety, fear of the Lord, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And then to be open to the special charismatic gifts that God has given to you through the Holy Spirit. Be open to the various fruits of the Holy Spirit. Try to discern what are the particular fruits that the Holy Spirit at the present time is giving to you, and be grateful for them and try to cooperate with them. In the 9th conference, I talked about discernment, emphasized that the Holy Spirit has been given to each of us to help us discern God's will, to help us discern the presence of God in our life and in the world, to help us discern the best way to pray, to help us to discern our personal destiny, where we fit into God's overall plan for the human race, to help us discern the proper reaction that we should have in dealing with others, to help us discern the truth about ourselves. In the 4th conference, I talked about the obstacles that prevent the Holy Spirit from pouring out these gifts upon us. That these obstacles are very often something good that we have exaggerated its importance, and so that it becomes a demon. In this daily communication with the Holy Spirit, try to discern what are the particular demons that are holding back the Holy Spirit from being more open and present in your life. In the 5th conference, I talked about the 3 remedies of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Or, if you wish, instead of fasting, self-discipline. Instead of almsgiving, it's ministry to others. Every day we should go to the Holy Spirit and talk over these 3 remedies and try to discern how, with the help of the Holy Spirit, that we can put them into practice. In the 7th conference, I talked about the 2 great sacraments of baptism and confirmation, and that they are like sleeping giants, which are always present, ready to be activated, and we need to make our renewal of our baptismal promises, to activate the graces of baptism, and to make an offering of ourselves to the Lord to be used to carry out God's work on earth, to activate the graces of confirmation. In the 8th conference, I talked about those 7 promises that the Holy Spirit gives to the churches in Asia Minor and how they are applicable to us today. In the 10th conference, I talked about God's plan for the human race to expand the family circle of heaven. That each of us has a place in this, and that through the Eucharist we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit to enable us to carry forward God's plan for the kingdom by many, many acts of love. And that this love is just another way of expressing the gift of the Holy Spirit to us. And finally, in the last conference, the 11th conference, I gave you an example of someone who has truly been open to the Holy Spirit, Saint Therese. But there are, of course, many other examples that we can use. The Blessed Mother, her openness to the Holy Spirit when the angel Gabriel came, expressed by the words, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." The example of Isaiah, who, when he heard God saying, "Whom shall we send? Who will go for us?" Isaiah says, "Here I am, send me." The example of Samuel, who in answer to the Lord's call said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." The example of Saint Paul on the road to Damascus, Lord, what will you have me to do? Another marvelous example of this openness to the Holy Spirit is that of Moses, as described especially in the book of Exodus, but also in the book of Numbers and the book of Deuteronomy. We are told that Moses was the meekest of men, which meant he was totally open to the Holy Spirit. Saint Stephen, in the Acts of the Apostles, accused the religious leaders of his time of resisting the Holy Spirit. In our daily dialogue with the Holy Spirit, with this inner wisdom, we should ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us where perhaps we are resisting the Holy Spirit. Where are we failing to be totally open to the Holy Spirit? We ask the Holy Spirit to help us to discern the particular fears that we have that keep us from this openness, to show us the direction that we need to go to practice that total openness. Openness to the Holy Spirit means openness to God, openness to love, openness to God's will, openness to God's plans for the world, and especially God's plans for each one of us, and openness to the particular destiny that God has chosen for each of us. Openness to the Holy Spirit means openness to the needs of others. It means openness to the needs of God. So often people think that God has no needs, and yet once He has given freedom to the human race, God needs our cooperation, that we are free either to cooperate with God or to refuse to cooperate, to resist the Holy Spirit. God needs our cooperation. It is interesting that in the Lord's Prayer, the first half of the Lord's Prayer has to do with God's needs. It's only in the second half that we get to our needs. God needs His name to be hallowed. Hallowed be Thy name. God needs His will to be done. God needs us to cooperate to bring about His kingdom. The Lord's Prayer, therefore, gives us a model that we should follow in all of our prayers, that our first concern should always be God's needs, not our needs. The second part of the Lord's Prayer also reminds us that we should put the needs of others on an equal plane with our needs. It is never in the singular, give me this day my daily bread. It's always in the plural, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. And so we put the needs of God and the needs of others ahead of our needs. This is a part of this openness to the Holy Spirit that we should bring about through this daily inner wisdom dialogue. In this inner wisdom dialogue, we should ask the Holy Spirit to help us understand where we can be of the greatest help to others, to help us see the opportunities to help others in our daily life. Openness to the Holy Spirit is the opposite of selfishness, of self-interest, of self-centeredness. This openness to the Holy Spirit is what is meant by meekness. Meekness is when we try to conform our will to the will of God. And it is the Holy Spirit that enables us to do this. In order to practice this openness to the Holy Spirit, we need to hold on very loosely to our present situation, ready to let go of everything in our present life, including life itself, and ready to go in any direction that the Holy Spirit reveals for us to go. We need to hold on loosely to life, to wealth, to health, to success, to possessions, to power. We must be willing to slay our little darlings that have become our demons. We must be willing, like Abraham, to sacrifice our little Isaacs. We must be ready and willing to go in any direction. That is why I love that little prayer, "Anything, Lord, everything." Openness to the Holy Spirit means total detachment from everything except God and God's will. Openness to the Holy Spirit means an absence of fear, and in its place, a total trust in God, a fearlessness, this readiness to go in any direction that the Holy Spirit seems to be calling us. Like Jesus, we should be able to say, "I do always the things that please my Heavenly Father." In order to make the most of our dialogue with the Holy Spirit, we should think of each day as now the open moment. The past is history. It is water over the dam. We cannot recall it. We cannot bring it back. The future is mystery. It is in God's hands. We're not sure that we'll be even alive in the future. The only part of life that we have some control over is the present moment. Now, the open moment. And so each day, we should make the most of that particular now, that particular open moment. Each morning, we ask the Holy Spirit to help us and show us how we can do the most good for the most people, how we can go out and show great love to every person that we meet that day. Jesus Christ gives us a beautiful example of practicing this openness to the Holy Spirit. We know that Jesus spent his public life every day very busy in ministering to the needs of others. The Gospels tell us that Jesus spent many hours at night, sometimes whole nights in prayer. We know that before he began his public ministry, he spent 40 days in the desert in prayer. Following the example of Jesus, we too must spend many hours in prayer. It will be helpful if you would go through the Gospels and to make a record of the words that Jesus uses when he prays. For example, the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. These words of Jesus express this total openness to the Holy Spirit, total openness to God. And this is the model that we must try to follow. By prayer, Jesus made contact with the Holy Spirit and developed a deep intimacy and love. By prayer, the infinite power of the Holy Spirit was made available to Jesus. By prayer, the infinite wisdom of the Holy Spirit was available to Jesus. By prayer, the infinite love of God was available to Jesus by prayer. By prayer, the infinite life of the Holy Spirit was present with Jesus. That same infinite power and wisdom and love and life of the Holy Spirit is available to us if we are willing to spend quality time each day in this inner wisdom dialogue, being open to the Holy Spirit. The key that unlocks the divine treasures of the Holy Spirit is prayer. God has definite plans for each of us. These plans change from year to year, from day to day. Therefore, we need to spend this inner wisdom dialogue with the Holy Spirit to discern God's plans for us each day, each week, each month, each year. There is another very important part of our life where we need to practice openness to the Holy Spirit. This is in our reading and study and prayer with the Scriptures. Before starting to read the sacred Scriptures, we should pray to the Holy Spirit to guide us in our reading, to help us discern the meaning the Holy Spirit wishes to give us in this reading. Through the help of the Holy Spirit, we should develop a whole repertoire of favorite Scripture texts. I call them the aha verses. We have to realize that not all the Scriptures have the same value. There are some parts of the Bible that are 100 times more important than others. For example, the Gospels and the New Testament in general. So much more important than the Old, even though there are so many wonderful things to help us in the Old Testament. We should develop a whole list of our favorite Scripture texts and go back to them over and over again. I have developed a little booklet on this different aha verses, approximately 900 different Scripture passages I have found to be very meaningful to me. And I've divided them up into different categories: gratitude, love, faith, trust, humility, and so on. What I have found is that once you break open a Scripture passage so that it comes alive, so that it has a meaning for us today, that we then can go back to that same Scripture passage over and over again the rest of our life, and it will continue to give us meaning. We can delve deeper and deeper into the same Scripture text and come up with a new insight, a new wisdom. This is, of course, the Holy Spirit using the sacred Scriptures to speak to us. In our book, Prayer and Temperament, we suggest 4 different ways of using the sacred Scriptures to discern God's will. The first is that of transposition. This is what we call Augustinian prayer. We take the Scripture texts that were written 2,000 or 3,000 years ago, and we try to find a way of transposing their meaning to us today. For example, the 43rd chapter of Isaiah is a message of hope to the people in Babylonia who had been there for 70 years in exile. We can transpose these words so that they speak to us today. Be not afraid. I love you. You are mine. A second way of using the Bible to have the Holy Spirit speak to us is that through projection. We call this Ignatian prayer after St. Ignatius of Loyola. By this method, we project ourselves back into the biblical scene. We imagine ourselves to be a part of the scene. For example, in the 10th chapter of Mark's Gospel, when Bartimaeus cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me," Jesus asked him, "What will you have me do for you?" Bartimaeus says, "Lord, that I may see again." We can put ourselves in the place of Bartimaeus. Imagine Jesus asking us, "What will you have me do for you?" And we can answer, "Lord, that I may see again, that I may see my faults, that I may see your presence, that I may see the needs of others." All of us are spiritually blind in one way or another. A third way of using the Scriptures to discern God's will is what we call the Thomistic way of analysis. We analyze the Scripture text. We look at it from every different point of view: the what, the why, the when, the where, the how, and so on. We walk all around the scripture passage using our mind to try to come to some decision as to what God is asking us to do, and then we pray for help to carry it out. A fourth way of using the sacred scriptures is that of the, what we call the Franciscan way, of taking all of those wonderful chapters in the Bible, and especially in the Psalms, of praising and thanking God, and just celebrating God's goodness, God's love, God's loving care for us. St. Augustine said that when we prayerfully use the Bible in our meditations, that we are just as closely in union with the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Blessed Trinity, as when we go to Holy Communion in the Eucharist, we are united with Jesus Christ, the second person. For that reason, I try to show the same reverence towards the Bible as I do towards the Blessed Sacrament of the Eucharist. I see the Bible really as what we might call an eighth sacrament, an eighth way by which we receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, through prayer and through a very prayerful meditation on the Scriptures, we make ourselves open to the Holy Spirit. We invite that Holy Spirit to come and take possession of us. And as a result, we are filled with this Holy Spirit, and we have that same intimacy with the Holy Spirit that we can have with God the Father or Jesus Christ the Son. This is the end of the 12th Conference.